3, and we've been dealing with the names of God here on Wednesday evenings now for a couple of months, and we've had the opportunity to study through various names that God has re-given to us in His Word. He's revealed Himself to us through His names. Often I've said this by way of introduction throughout this series, that through the names that God has revealed to us in His Word, we find that He reveals to us certain aspects about His nature, His character, His attributes. And it's of great interest to me as we come to this 23rd Psalm this evening. The next name that we'll study is Jehovah Ra, and it's found here in Psalm 23:1. The name is translated, we would understand it, as the Lord my Shepherd, and it's a quite familiar to many people. In fact, I would say this, that Psalm 23 is probably one of the most familiar passages in the Old Testament. And I remember well before I ever got saved or went to church, I remember hearing things and seeing things about Psalm 23. People would have Psalm 23 on something hanging on their wall, printed out and what have you. You go to funerals all the time. At funerals, they'll give out little cards that have Psalm 23 on it. I'm talking about, I've done funerals as a pastor for people that I've been asked to do a funeral. I don't know anything about the families. They're not saved, as best I know, through conversation. There's no religious church background, but man, they got little cards that have Psalm 23 on them, and it's just a very familiar passage of Scripture. This evening, as we think about the fact that this is a familiar passage of Scripture, I hope that we would not just kind of go on autopilot, because the reality is that the truth that God gives us here in Psalm 23, and then broader throughout the entirety of the Bible with the truth that the Lord is my shepherd, is such an important truth for us to truly grasp in our lives and to fully be able to comprehend all that that means. With that being said, we will not intend this evening to do all of it in one study. In fact, we'll probably spend 4 or 5 weeks looking at various aspects of the Lord is my shepherd, because there's so many different things that are communicated to us with regard to that simple name, Jehovah Ra. But then we see in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ begins to refer to Himself as the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. We begin to see all of those various aspects of all of what that means. And so we're going to spend several weeks here, just kind of slow down a bit and look at this, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to read the verse of Scripture to you, and then we'll get into the message this evening. The Bible says, I'll read the entirety of the psalm. It's familiar to us, but I trust that God will use it to encourage us again this evening. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we look at this psalm, it's interesting to me as we consider this evening the human vessel that God chose when revealing this name to us. That human vessel was David. It's kind of interesting that God would use David as the human penman, the human vessel, if you will, in order to reveal this name, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, to us. You begin to think about David. We understand from the book of Acts that David is referred to as being a man after God's own heart. And what a great testimony that David has. And we understand that God, in the context of looking at what God was doing with Saul being rejected and David being anointed, it was a man that would obey, that would follow. And David was a man who obeyed the Lord. He followed the Lord. He's not perfect. We know that Scripture records many things in his life, but we find that he was obedient to the Lord. So we know that he's a man after God's own heart. We also know that he's known as being the king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel. But then think about this, he's the shepherd boy. And you think about the responsibility that he has being a shepherd. And I want to focus just a little bit this evening at looking at David, the vessel that God used in order to reveal this truth to us. Why? Because David, as he writes these words, the Lord is my shepherd, as Jehovah Ra is revealed to us in our Bibles as a name being ascribed to our God, the Lord my shepherd, we understand that David as a shepherd would have some immediate understandings as to what was being communicated through that title, through that name. I've never been a shepherd. I don't think anyone here has ever been a shepherd as their primary job duty or responsibility for any length of time. I understand I have read books on shepherding. I have read books over the years with regard to the various aspects of shepherding and what have you. I've seen videos. I've heard from firsthand people that had worked in that field and they know what it means. But I think of David. Of all the people that have written Scripture, the human penmen, of course, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that God chose David, and David, because of his role, he would be able to immediately relate to the attributes that were being communicated to him and also to us as to what it means, the Lord, my shepherd. Turn back, if you will, to 1 Samuel 16. I'm just going to kind of take a quick survey here of some of the things that we see in the life of David and how this would relate and David being able to immediately understand what was being communicated with regard to this name, the Lord, my shepherd. In 1 Samuel 16, you're familiar with it, we find that God begins the passage by saying to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" God rejected Saul from being king over Israel, and God, according to the end of verse number 1, he says, "I have provided me a king among his sons." Whose sons? Well, the sons of Jesse. We find that Samuel had been given specific instruction with regard to going to the city and calling for the family, and that the next king of Israel would be anointed. Now understand that as we look at this passage of Scripture and we begin to think about David within the context of this, that the Bible says in verse number 3, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto him whom I name unto thee." Verse 4, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse," notice it says, "and what? His sons." Right? Is that what your Bible says? "He sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them," plural, that would mean all of them, right? "Called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And we understand, we're familiar with the passage of Scripture. He sees Eliab because of the outward appearance. Samuel has this thought immediately, this must be the guy. And of course, the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, "No." In verse number 7, "The Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." He goes on to say this, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." There's a message or a series of messages that could be preached just from 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7. You begin to couple that with 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And we find that the ultimate truth as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 is that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. And so we find here that David is not there. Notice in verse 8, "Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And so on and so forth. The seven sons pass. In verse number 10, again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." I think Samuel probably is a bit confused at the moment. What's going on here? I know that I'm doing what God called me to do. He told me where to go and what to do. So what does Samuel say in verse 11? "Are here all thy children?" And notice the response. He said, "There remaineth yet the youngest." And then notice this little phrase, "And behold, he keepeth the sheep." It's just a simple statement in Scripture, but how impactful this little statement is, because David, the shepherd boy, if you will, if we use that title this evening, because he says there remaineth the youngest, and what is he doing? Well, he's keeping the sheep. Could I say to you this evening, this responsibility is a very important responsibility. To keep the sheep is an important role, and we find that this role that Jesse entrusted his youngest son with this very serious responsibility. And that speaks volumes to us with regard to what Jesse saw in his son and the trust that he had in his son to be able to do that. Jesse is in that position, and we find that many times, as you would think about through the scriptures and the importance of livestock and the importance of their livelihood and how important it was to their being and their being able to survive and live, and yet this very important responsibility was left to David, the youngest. And it says that he keepeth the sheep. So Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So I want you to just pause for a moment and consider what's happened here. As we begin to think about Jehovah Ra, right, the Lord my shepherd, God uses David to communicate that name to us, and David would be able to relate quickly to the roles and the attributes of what that name communicates. Why? Because he himself was a shepherd. And David fulfilling the responsibility that had been given to him, but now he's anointed king. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 13, that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him. What does the Bible say? In the midst of his brethren. Is that what your Bible says? And so this was not just a private ceremony with Samuel and David. It was a private ceremony for the family, but the boys were there, the sons, Jesse, they were all there. They were present. Why am I making that, so stressing that point? Well, because if you skip down to verse number 19, the Bible says this, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son. Notice what it says, which is with the sheep. You know what David did after he was anointed to be the king of Israel? He went back to take care of the sheep. He went back to go take care of the sheep. He didn't get prideful. He didn't get arrogant. He didn't say to his brothers, hey, listen, you saw Samuel anoint me. You understand my position. You understand the significance of that. Listen, being anointed with oil was no small thing. This was major. This was significant in Israel's history. This event in 1 Samuel 16 is hugely significant. We understand that this anointing for the family, hugely significant. But what does David do? He goes back to the sheep. Do you see the humility? You know, our Lord, you know what the Bible says? That he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter number 2. You know, sometimes where we get in so much trouble is pride. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. David, he goes back to caring for the sheep, fulfilling the responsibility that he has. Go to chapter 17, if you will. And I want you to skip down. We're familiar with the passage. I'm going to jump down to verse number 15. In 1 Samuel 17, the Philistines and the people of Israel, the children of Israel, they're engaged in this battle. Goliath is challenging the people of God, and so on and so forth. Saul and all the men are fearful. They're dismayed. They're greatly afraid. The Bible tells us in verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David, notice in verse 15, went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. What's he doing? Feeding the sheep. You know what I believe? I believe God was teaching him some lessons. You know, Moses, he was 40 years in the house of Pharaoh receiving training, but then he was 40 years on the backside of the desert receiving training. Amen? David needed to have some training. And David was learning some lessons taking care of the sheep. David was learning some lessons about who God is. He's been able to spend some time with God personally. You think about the Psalms, I believe many of them were probably written and sung during those times in which he was with the Lord in that quiet time, if you will, and taking care of those sheep. We know, as we'll go through the text here this evening in chapter 17, that God was also demonstrating his power. We find that he's there, he's taking care of the sheep. Notice, if you will, skip down, David's father has interaction with them, and he tells him in verse number 17, he calls him, verse 18, carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, and David rose up early in the morning. You see his character? He rose up early in the morning. And we find that he's going to fulfill the duty, the responsibility, that which had been entrusted to him to go and do this. His dad says, I know that you're taking care of these sheep, but now I want to give you this task. I'm going to assign you with this task. Again, a man that had proven himself to be faithful. that Jesse could trust him to do this. The Bible says that he rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. Oh, just another simple statement of Scripture, but how important it is that we recognize that David was responsible. He was responsible for ensuring that there was someone else that would care for the sheep in his absence. Why was that so necessary? Well, because sheep are vulnerable. Amen? Sheep are vulnerable. And so we find that David, he left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. And so we see again various attributes of what David did and what he lived as being a shepherd and how he would be able to relate to what God was communicating in Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. We find here in chapter 17, look, skip down to verse number 34, if you will. David said unto Saul, notice, this is in the situation, David's already said, I'll go and fight against him. Is there not a cause? Verse 29, we find that David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. In verse 32, David is told by Saul that he can't. Why? He tells him, you're but a youth. And then he tells him this, that he, speaking of Goliath, is a man of war from his youth. And in verse 34, David says this, he says, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. I mean, I know that we're familiar with this, but do you understand the significance of this? Do you understand how serious David took the responsibility that was his to be a shepherd? Do you understand, as we look at this, it wasn't that David sat back and said, well, it's only one. What does the good shepherd do? Well, there's one, and he goes looking after the one. He leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one. Is that not what we read in the New Testament? And we find here that David, as being the keeper of the sheep and doing the job that he was supposed to do, he's there keeping, and there was an enemy. Listen, we have an enemy. Are you aware of the fact we have an enemy? Amen. He's active, is he not? He's looking to destroy, to devour. He doesn't want to just trip you up a little bit. He doesn't want to just get you a little bit off course. He wants to destroy our lives, devour our testimonies. We find here that here's what David did. He says that I went out after him. Now, I don't know what you get in your brain and what kind of image you see, but it just like, I don't have a great imagination, but like, game on. I mean, it's fighting time, right? I mean, David is like, roll up the sleeves, we're going after it. And I kind of think about myself and I'd be like, I mean, what am I going to do, right? Like, that's maybe how I would think. But we find that David, it seems as if without delay, he's going to go out. Notice the Bible says this, that he smote him, delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Hallelujah, man. I mean, that's awesome. And by the way, this isn't just made up fairy tale kind of stuff. This is what David experienced. The Bible says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, notice what he says in verse number 37, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. I mean, what else is Saul going to say? We find that David recognized in verse 37, not only did he recognize, but he proclaimed it, that it was God who gave him the victory. It was God who gave him the ability to have that deliverance that he spoke about. He recognized that fact and he made it known. And so again, we begin to look here at what David was doing as a shepherd and as he's caring for the sheep. And then the Lord says, Jehovah Ra, as David is penning that 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I believe that at that moment when he pens those words and he's understanding in a flood of ideas come into his mind with regard to what it means that God, the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one, that he is my shepherd. Because David knew what it was to be a shepherd. And David knew what he did as a shepherd. David had that experience. And so what better vessel for God to have chosen to communicate this name to us? The text goes on in Psalm 23 and begins to describe in various details how the shepherd cares for his sheep and what he does. And we'll look at that in weeks to come. But I want you to understand this evening that as we look at these examples of David and his life and we begin to understand a little bit of what does it mean to be a shepherd, look in 2 Samuel, and then we're going to end up in the book of Psalms in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Notice with me, if you will, as David is being spoken to here from the Lord, and this is what we would refer to as the Davidic covenant. I don't have time this evening to develop all of the Davidic covenant and all that's taking place, but we know that it's a covenant that was made between the Lord and the house of David. It's a covenant that ultimately will be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning during the millennial kingdom of Christ. And it talks about a house, a kingdom, and throne, and we see that referenced in the New Testament as well, referencing the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice with me that David, beginning in this passage, what does he have? Well, he has a desire to build a house for the Lord. He has a desire to build a temple for the Lord. And David kind of looks at his own life and he looks at his own house and he's sitting there and he begins to give thought and he says, I want to build a house for the Lord. He says this in verse 2, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Nathan's initial response to David, to the king, is go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Well, Nathan didn't seek the Lord when he gave him that counsel, and God in his grace and his mercy that very night appeared to Nathan and gave him the direction, the counsel that needed to be provided to David. And by the way, on a side note, praise the Lord for a man of God, Nathan, that was willing to listen to the voice of God and go back to the king and say, actually, what I told you yesterday isn't accurate. Here's what God said. Praise the Lord for that. And I give Nathan a lot of credit for being willing to obey the Lord. And it says that he came and he tells him. And here's the message that God gives to deliver to David in verse number 5. Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now watch verse number 8 just for a moment here as we kind of tie this together. It says, now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. There's something that's interesting about David with regard to this revelation to us, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. We find that David, even after being anointed king, goes back to taking care of the sheep, as we mentioned in 1 Samuel 16. But then even as we look here, and we're going to look in the book of Psalms as well, David was reminded of his beginnings. I don't think David ever forgot what it meant to be a shepherd. In fact, I think that many of the ways in which David led, not that he was perfect in his leadership, because we know that he wasn't, but we understand that as he led, as he was a shepherd to the people of God, the nation of Israel, that he was able to implement many things that he learned being a shepherd of sheep. We find that here God reminds him of his beginnings, and he says that I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And David understood that position that God had given to him, but he also understood that God had taught him some things in that role of shepherd that he needed not to forget. And then he would be able to, at a later time, relate those very things to what it meant for God to be his shepherd. And what it means to us that the Lord is my shepherd. Because we can say, just as David does in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Turn over, if you will, to Psalm 78. I want to look here at a passage. Psalm 78 is a great chapter in the Psalms. There's 72 verses. It's a lengthy psalm. The psalm begins with a perspective that's important for us to understand about influencing a future generation, that we would have a generation that would rise up, that would know the mighty works of God, that would understand who He is and what He's capable of doing, and that they might set their hope in God, according to verse number 7, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Can I tell you that that truth to begin Psalm 78 is something that still to this day needs to be fresh on our minds, that we would raise up and we would train a generation to come that they would know God, that they would know Him in an intimate, in a deep and personal way, that they would understand who He is and what He's capable of doing, that they would follow the Lord. We go through the psalm. There's many things that are said to us about the history of Israel and as a nation and their deliverance and so on and so forth. But I want to come to the end of the chapter as it applies to David here, and really with regard to this thought with shepherding. Notice the Bible says this. Before I get into David, look at verse 52. The Bible says, "But made His own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock." And he began to think about how God was doing that role of shepherding, even before He had really revealed this name Jehovah Ra to us, the Lord my shepherd. But He was doing that. And throughout the Bible, He refers to us as sheep. Does He not? He says a great verse of Scripture, eternal security. I mean, I'm so thankful for it. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. Is that what John 10 says? We're sheep. He's our shepherd. And we find here in verse number 70, the Bible says this, again, dealing with Israel's history and coming up to this point of David where it fits within the history. It says, "He chose David also His servant and took him from the sheepfolds." We mentioned that in 2 Samuel 7. But then notice what the Bible says in verse 71 and 72, again, giving us insight with regard to what it means to be a shepherd. And what David did, what he routinely did as a shepherd that would help him understand what was being communicated, what was David doing? When God took him from the sheepfolds, what was he doing? Well, he was following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And so God was taking David from one responsibility to another responsibility, but many of the aspects of the responsibility were going to remain the same. He's still going to lead as God led. He was still going to feed as God nourished. Listen, as a pastor, sometimes we use the term under-shepherd. It's not really found throughout the Scriptures. You do find that there's a reference, a Greek word, with regard to the role of a pastor as being a shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. Why do we say that? Well, it says, feed the flock of God. And we find that there's that reference there. We begin to look at the role of a pastor as being the leader and the one that is teaching and guiding and feeding. When it says feed the sheep, it says that we're to feed the flock of God. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about spiritual nourishment. David knew the responsibility of feeding physically the sheep, right? That's what he did. 1 Samuel 16, that's where he found David. He's taking care of the sheep. What is he doing? Well, he's leading them to still waters. He's leading them to green pastures. It's what he did as a shepherd for the sheep. Now, God says, from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And so David would have to be fed from God in order to feed the people. If we look at the New Testament, we understand that I, as a pastor, I have to be fed from God in order to feed the people of God. And we understand here this evening that ultimately we see that, yes, we might use the term under-shepherd, but he is the chief shepherd. The fact is, the under-shepherd, if I can use that word, that title this evening, can fail you. But the chief shepherd will never fail you. The chief shepherd's never going to disappoint you. He's never going to fail you. He's never not going to take good care of you. Why? Because he is a good shepherd. Amen? Now, sometimes you might not follow the shepherd. Let me say that again. I don't think you heard it. Sometimes you might not follow the shepherd. Amen? You know, sometimes sheep kind of think they know where to go better than where the shepherd's leading them, right? I mean, physically. So what does the shepherd have to do? Well, the shepherd has to help that sheep understand where he's supposed to be, right? Because there are dangers that the sheep isn't aware of. The sheep has no built-in defense mechanism. They really don't. And so we find that here, God's given this responsibility, and it helps us to understand. Notice in verse 72, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and notice, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. God taught David some things as a shepherd that he then was able to use as a king. And then God reveals to the king, I am your shepherd. And David, I believe, sometimes we use that expression, a light bulb goes off. I think this was a moment in David's life where I don't think he probably didn't understand some of the truths, but it kind of, the full picture kind of makes sense now. God is my shepherd. He had me doing this and fulfilling this role, and this is, you know, what God had for me and how God was teaching me and using me, and now I understand how God is my shepherd. All the way, the shepherd leads us. I begin to look at Psalm 23 and other portions of Scripture that we'll study in the weeks to come with regard to this name, the Lord, my shepherd, and I begin to rejoice in what my shepherd does for me. And as I study a little bit more about shepherding, when I understand a little bit more even about David and what God gives us in his word with regard to what David had been faithfully engaged in and what his experience was and how it would have a greater impact on him to know the Lord is my shepherd. This evening, we, if we've never shepherded, if we've never read anything about shepherding, if you talk to a young child, we take one of these young kids that are in our church and we say, you know, God is your shepherd. We better teach them some things about what it means to be a shepherd. All right? Am I not right? Why? Because they're not going to inherently understand what that means, that the Lord is my shepherd. But David immediately, because he had fulfilled the role of being a shepherd for so long, David immediately understood, the Lord is my shepherd. I know what that means. This evening, I think that it's necessary for us to kind of, yes, let us rejoice and understand the Lord is my shepherd, but what does it mean? What is the significance of it? And over the next several weeks, as we kind of break this down and begin to look at various attributes and aspects of what does a shepherd do and how does he do that in my life spiritually? Because we have a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. And he knows your name. And I hope you know his voice. It is said of sheep that they can have a distinct ear for the voice of their shepherd. Many times in biblical days, for sure, but even in modern history, there will be times in which flocks will mingle together. And to someone that does not understand and has not been experienced, you might wonder, how in the world will they ever determine which sheep belongs to which shepherd? And I've read on more than one occasion from more than one source of people giving firsthand testimony of how simply after the shepherds will have greeting and interaction, how that the one shepherd will call out and those sheep will follow the voice of their shepherd. There's really no need for the shepherd to go and try to, that one's yours and this one's mine. No, no. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And I think that's why it's so significant that the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We better learn how to hear the voice of our shepherd. Why? Because my shepherd talks to me, not audibly, but through his word. He talks to me. And he wants to guide me and he wants to guide you. We have a good shepherd this evening. In Psalm 23, again, a familiar passage of Scripture, one in which many of us tonight could stand up and recite from memory the entirety of the psalm, that we can need, or we need to just pause for a moment and consider the significance, really just tonight, looking at the vessel that God used to communicate this truth to us and how impactful it must have been in David's life. And I hope tonight it would be equally impactful in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to gather. Lord, we thank you for the passage of Scripture and the various verses that we could go to and understanding a little bit tonight, and we'll continue to develop this in weeks to come as to what it means that, Lord, you are my shepherd. And I'm so thankful for that Bible truth, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to rest and to be encouraged and to be comforted through that which you've revealed to us in your word. I pray that you'd bless the time of prayer. We thank you for the privilege. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.